blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, and thy searching eye doth see, where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 384, stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Song of Solomon and thereof chapter 4. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garment is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou self. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all merciful and yet just and righteous God, thou dost bring us unto thy house of prayer, and it is a wonder that we may read in thy word of the desires that thou hast unto thy bride, unto thy own church, for a blessed communion, Lord, that is already from a never begun eternity, wherein thou hast decreed to establish a church that would be brought near unto thee in that blessed relation of husband and wife, a relation of a blessed fidelity, of a blessed oneness, even with thy own creature. And it is a marvel in our eyes how that thou hast carried this out even through such an awful, sinful thing as our deep fall, but so to give thy own son to be born into this world as a man, as a human being, as one of us, as the Emmanuel, the God with us, and that thou mayst take into thy communion those even that have sinned against thee, Lord, then it is a marvel in our eyes. Eternity will not be long enough to finish the glory, expounding that glory of thee, Lord, that thou may give it in our hearts, each and every one of us, that we may be given new hearts of flesh, and that we may see not beauty in this world, because that is a beauty that is passing away. If there is any beauty left in it, except for thy beautiful creation, but that beauty that is in thee, in thy dear Son, in thy Holy Spirit, and in the salvation that thou hast decreed, that thou hast bought, and that thou dost hast wrought in the life of thy own people. And now we do stand before a week of preparation for thy Holy Supper, that thou dost command to be commemorated from time to time. Lord, thou knowest the heart of each one of us. And when we are called to self-examination in this week, and thou knowest that we have no eyes to see, except thou wilt give them unto us. And we can read it in thy word, of one who did say, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see," but that was not enough, because he could not see thee. He did not see thee. He had not met thee, and thou hadst not yet revealed thyself unto him. But when he was cast out of that synagogue, and when he was standing there on the outside, cast out by men, then he was received by thee. And then thou didst appear unto him, and thou didst say, "I am he." And then his eyes may behold thee. Lord, remember those. And that also must say, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. But they have never yet seen thee. For thou knowest where they are in the midst of us, those in whom thou hast indeed begun that good work of grace, where they have received a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, but they have never found a solution to all their own unrighteousness. O Lord, that thou may lead them, and that thou may draw them, and that thou may bring them to an end of themselves, that they may come to that holy despair, that they may be in that place to see the suitability of thy dear and only begotten Son, who has kept the law, and that they cannot keep, and that they desire to keep, and that must be kept in order to enter into that kingdom of heaven. O Lord, that thou may reveal thyself in the midst of us as a congregation to those in whom thou indeed hast begun, those who do not know the way, those who are so often a riddle to themselves. Lord, that thou may give clarity, that thou may lead in the way of life, and that thou may look also on those who are no strangers of thee, those whom thou hast given to know something of thee. Oh, then they say, I do not know him, so often, and because that knowledge is so small, then they have seen such a little bit, and yet they are no strangers of what thy grace and of what thy mercy is, even to one who is as undeserving as they are. O Lord, that thou may show thyself again, because they cannot miss thee. They cannot live without thee. They say, without thee, I can do nothing. And Lord, thou art that bread of life. Thou art able to sustain the life that thou hast given, and they cannot uphold themselves. And they have to lose everything again from their own side in order that they may be made fit again for a second time. Lord, wilt thou instruct more and more in the pleasant and the precious ways wherein thou dost lead all thy children upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. It is a straight way. It must go through the valleys. It must go over the mountains. There is no going around. But Lord, it is a way wherein thou wilt lead them with weeping and supplications in a plain path. Then thou wilt lead their steps. Thou wilt guide their steps, and then so often in ways that are against their flesh, and yet they are ways wherein their soul is instructed in the way of life. Lord, that we may receive each one of us a holy jealousy for that blessed portion, and the children and the young people, because by nature we do not see it. We have no eyes to see it, because we have no heart to desire it. But Lord, that thou may give us such a heart, and that thou may give us such blessed eyes that see, that we may desire to walk in all thy commandments and in all thy truth, and that we may desire and beseech thee that thou may reveal thyself to our souls. Remember all those that are afflicted. And then we remember in a special way the grandson of our brother elder. Lord, thou knowest the great circumstances wherein he is, the many concerns for his life. O Lord, could it please thee to spare his life in thy mercy, and that thou may heal him once again, and that thou wouldst raise him up, and that thou may remember the parents and the grandparents, and give them a place at thy footstool in these days, wherein their hearts are so fearful, that they might be given to know and to feel that thou livest, and that they may know also that thou art a prayer giving and a prayer hearing, and a prayer-answering God. Remember the young father in Calgary also, and that must receive surgery in the time to come, in the very concerning circumstances. Lord, that thou may guide the hands of the physicians. Wilt thou give him also a place at thy footstool with all that are about and that love him, and that thou may yet spare his life, and for his wife, for his children, and that thou mayest do a work, which is a convincing work for the souls of men, that it may be a profitable way, and wherein that thou dost lead him, and that thou may remember all the afflicted ones. And there are others that suffer from that same disease, both here and elsewhere. Lord, thou knowest all the concerns of mind, of body, of all that suffer, that thou may remember in all the concerns and in all the needs of this life. Also, when there are addictions, Lord, then we are all addicted to sin, and we need that thou wouldst cure us from those addictions, that thou would give us the love of thee in its place, and then we shall be drawn, Lord, and then we shall run after thee. And wilt thou remember all those that rule and reign over us, and give them wisdom, and give them discretion, give them the tender fear of thy name, bring back to thy holy word and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou remember all that bring thy word? Give more into that vineyard, whether it be on the mission field, whether it be in the established congregations. Remember those that are far away from loved ones and friends. And wilt thou sustain them in the labors of their hands? And wilt thou bless also the labors of thy servants all over this world? Care for those that do labor under circumstances that are dangerous, wherein their lives also are in danger, that thou may keep them in safety, and that thou may give them courage when Satan goes about as a roaring lion to devour. But he goes about here also as an angel of light, also to devour. And wilt thou put away the evil that he does sow in the midst of our congregations also, that when thy truth is fought against, oh, that thou may give us to love thy truth, to know thy truth, and to stand for thy truth, that thou may give us to experience it in our heart, each and every one, and then we will never desire to leave it. Wilt thou remember our enemies, and when thou dost command us also to pray for them, Lord, that thou may give a bowing before thy footstool, and that thou may show that thou art God, and wilt thou give a token also that we are among thy own children, Lord, that thou may remember all those that are in special needs in the midst of this world, the children that are in school. Wilt thou care for them also when they have no friends, when they are not able to learn so easily? Lord, give them a place also at thy footstool, and give them to know in the days of their youth and that God is alive, and that thou may also help them in all their circumstances. Remember our teachers and all that labor in our school. Bless those labors. Remember us in this afternoon hour. And wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand, and give thy spirit in our midst, and that there may be a discernment in our hearts for the things that are of thee, to discern between right and wrong, to discern between what is of Thee and what is of the prince of darkness, what is the precious and what is the vile. Do forgive and keep and take away all of our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord my God, most earnestly my heart would seek Thy face, within Thy holy house once more to see Thy glorious grace. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 163. Beloved congregation, Solomon writes, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." Of whom is he speaking? He writes of the bridegroom commending his bride. Thus it is the commendation of the Lord, of the church, who is commending, it is the commendation of Christ, who is commending his church. What a wonderful thing that that is. What a marvelous thing that Christ should say such a thing of his own church. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. In the chapter before, in chapter 3, we read just the opposite. We read of the church commending Christ. There we read about the bride who is speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. Thus it is the established church who is speaking to the concerned church. And she says, "Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night." Thus, there is a commendation of that bridegroom, and though that bride desires that also the daughters of Jerusalem would be given eyes to behold who that bridegroom is, that they would know him and that they would love him. Who are those daughters of Jerusalem? And they are a picture of a church that is born again. They are born in Jerusalem. That is God's own true people. And yet there is a distinction made by Solomon, a distinction made between the daughters of Jerusalem and the bride. Thus, all of them belong to the Lord in a true way. And yet, there is a distinction among them, and what is it? That is in the knowledge and the love and the desire for that bridegroom himself. That is also a distinction that we need to make when we prepare for the Holy Supper of the Lord. Because, why? Because that is the most important distinction? No. What is the most important distinction? That is between a person who is regenerated and a person who is unregenerated. Because the Bible says that we then, when we are unregenerated and we would partake of that Holy Supper, that we eat and drink judgment to ourselves, and thus a serious examination of ourselves needs to take place in the week to come. And yet there is also a distinction which God's church, especially that concerned church, desires to hear. Because they say, "Am I also one of that people?" And then there are those indeed who are born again, and they are one of the true children of God. They have come out of that city of destruction. The Lord leads them out, but they have not yet come in unto that wicked gate. And thus, when it comes to that Holy Supper of the Lord, then it is a people who are not yet able, though they have the citizens' rights, though they do not eat and drink judgment to themselves, yet it is a people who are not able to profit yet from that Holy Supper. Thus, the bride here commends, in chapter 3, is commending Christ. He is become altogether lovely unto her. But here, in this chapter, it is just the other way around. Then we hear the bridegroom commending his bride. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Oh, who can fathom that such a thing should be said of that bride? They cannot fathom that themselves. What does David say? He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Do you ever say that? Did you ever see that? Because if we have never seen that, then certainly when we examine ourselves and when we read that form for self-examination, then we will see that we have no divine right to that table of the Lord. Thus, that first point in self-examination, Jeremiah, he says, the crown is fallen from our heads. Isaiah says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, it is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And that is now something that we need to come to know, that the Spirit of the Lord may instruct us in. Did we ever come to know the smallest part of this? David complained. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And so that is also with the bride. You can read that here in the Song of Solomon, that that bride was very often in darkness and that she had to miss the bridegroom, the communion with that bridegroom, and that she was not able just to see him unless he would come and he would reveal himself unto her. Christ says of that church, behold, thou art fair, my love. That is verse 1. And then you read verse 7. It says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Verse 1 and verse 7. And now between those two, then Christ expounds on those things that he sees in his bride. And we wish with the help of the Lord also to examine a little of this, and beginning in this afternoon hour with the first verse of Song of Solomon 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. So far the words of our text. Christ's commendation of his bride. First, of the singleness of her affections. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks, of the singleness of her affections. Second, of the pleasantness of her deportment. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead, of the pleasantness of her deportments. Christ's commendation of his bride. First, the singleness of her affections. And second, the pleasantness of her deportment. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Thus, the very first of seven particular commendations of his bride. That is not merely of her body. Fallen man is taken up with the beauty of the body of man. Is that what we are taken up with also, young people? With the body of a woman, with the body of a man, with your own body? Beauty is only skin deep. And very soon, beauty is gone. And when we die, all the beauty of a man, all the strength of a man, that is, the Bible says, fading away. There is another beauty. What is that beauty? That is the beauty of her character. Do you look for beauty of character, young people? You say, I want to get married. I want to find a young man. I want to find a young woman. And what do you look for? Then read Proverbs 31. And then think of that heathen man, Ahasuerus, who looked upon all these women, and he saw such a beauty in the simplicity of character of that godly Esther. Will you do that too? You will be much more happy. You will be much more satisfied with someone who has a beautiful character. But what about spiritual beauty? That is another kind of beauty. And it is actually the beauty that the Lord Jesus speaks about here in the Song of Solomon. And that is a beauty that is seen by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is a beauty that is put in that people by the Spirit of the Lord himself. That is a beauty that is seen by the Father even of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon mentions seven aspects of that beauty. And then he says, thou art all fair, my love. Thus those seven aspects are but seven representations of the entire beauty that he sees in his bride. That is not so different than the bride herself. When we hear her commending that bridegroom, and then when she says, he is altogether lovely, and then she says, I am not able to express the beauty that I do see in him. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. So eyes, what are eyes for? Eyes, they are for seeing. That is right. But the Apostle Paul speaks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Thus, the understanding sees. The understanding perceives things. The understanding is compared in God's word here to eyes. So what is Solomon speaking about? When he speaks about her eyes, he is speaking about her understanding, the understanding of the bride. Now the understanding is an aspect of our soul. We have said that many times. What is our soul? That soul is the understanding of a man. It is the will of a man. And it is the affections. Thus, the understanding is one aspect of that soul that the Lord has given unto a man. The animals do not have a soul. That means the animals do not have this understanding. They have eyes, they can see in a natural way. However, they cannot perceive with the intellect like a man can perceive. So everything that they do, even if it looks like they have a mind, That is because they are doing this out of the instinct and they are following those laws of instinct that God has put into an animal. With our eyes, we see what exists. And when the Lord gives us spiritual eyes, then we see spiritual things that exist. Just like our natural eyes do. Then we have spiritual eyes and we see that there are things that exist that are not natural, that are spiritual, thus spiritual realities. Did the Lord ever give to you spiritual eyes? Thus, boys and girls, we must ask the Lord for eyes when we are young. Not natural eyes, but spiritual eyes, that we may be given to see things that the natural man is not able to see, but that are very, very real. Thus, the Lord's Supper is not a carnal meal. It is a spiritual meal. It has carnal symbols, but those symbols are representations of spiritual things. And thus, if we have no eyes to behold spiritual things, then it is impossible to receive the benefit that the Lord Jesus has meant to be received from that Holy Supper. Christ recognizes the enlightened understanding here that he is giving, that his Spirit is giving unto his church. Christ notices that spiritual understanding and Christ sees a beauty. Hear that, people of the Lord? He sees a beauty in the eyes, in the understanding that has been given unto you. Oh, do you ever grieve for the carnality then? For the carnal heart that lives in you when Christ is looking upon his bride and he is commending her for those spiritual eyes and you say, oh my eyes, they are looking so often at everything that is carnal and Christ does not commend her for those carnal eyes, for that flesh that is still living in her here below. But to receive spiritual eyes, that is part of the restoration, that Christ is restoring his fallen church with. And now that spiritual mindedness is subject to temptation. It is subject to all the temptations of the carnal things that are here below. And that is why there are degrees. Only think about King Solomon himself. You would say such a spiritual man, but a time in his life that carnality and even idolatry seems even to have taken hold of him. Thus that those spiritual eyes are subject to temptation, but they will never be altogether missing within that church. Solomon says that himself. He says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Thus, those spiritual eyes, they were still there, but it is in, as it were, a sleep that he could not bring himself out of. But that bridegroom does not just say, thou hast eyes. No, he specifically says, thou hast dove's eyes. Thus, he is describing something about That understanding, those eyes. What kind of an understanding is this? Well, he says they are dove's eyes, as it were, the understanding that belongs to a dove. Here it speaks actually about a turtle dove. So boys and girls, sometimes you read, Solomon says that himself. He says, speaks about the voice of the turtle being heard in the land. And when you read that, then you must not think about the turtle that we know of, but it's speaking about the turtle dove. So it is speaking also here about that turtle dove. And what is so special about that turtle dove? That turtle dove is a very gentle, harmless, a quiet bird. You can read, David says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. And then I would fly far away and I would be at rest." Rest. Thus, that peaceful, that quietness that dove is representing. We read also, Solomon says, "Oh, my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, sweet is thy voice." Sweet is thy voice. Thus the voice of that dove that is sweet unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But these doves, they apparently mate for life. They have only one mate. Thus you can see them apparently often cuddling together. So they have become a symbol for man and for Israel of love. Thus the bridegroom calls his bride. He says, "My love, my dove." Thus he uses the dove as a symbol of love, as a symbol of affection. That is, the affection that is between Christ and his church. In the third place, these doves are sometimes called mourning doves. And why? Because when you hear them, their voice sounds like a person who is crying, like a person who is mourning. There you have the sound, that mourning sound that Christ says is so sweet unto him. Their congregation, we have it. There we have that beautiful resemblance. The Spirit of the Lord inspiring a man. The Spirit of the Lord inspiring Solomon to write. To write of those spiritual characteristics that are within that church of God and that are so pleasant unto himself. There are characteristics that make her to appear fair, we read in his eyes. "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes." We heard that those eyes represent the intellect. But now, those eyes belong to a dove. Thus, that intellect is being ruled by that dove. That intellect is being ruled by those affections. The intellect belongs to a dove. Thus, when the Lord converts a person, then he does not first give him intellect. No, he first gives to him love. And if the Lord gives us love, then we begin to see right. We can have all the knowledge, Paul says, all the knowledge, and yet lack charity. We can still lack love. We can know the Bible. We can give our body to be burned. But if we do not have love, then we lack everything. We lack a beginning. But if the Lord gives us a little love for Him, that we may not have so much knowledge, but it is right knowledge. It is the beginning of the true knowledge, because now we begin to see. We begin to see what is reality, what is true. We begin to see what is good, what is evil, what is vain, what is substance. Then there is love for this in our heart. And that love makes a man to begin to seek. Then he says, I am ignorant. I am ignorant of that God whom I have left in paradise. Then I want to know Him. Then I want to love Him. I want to have communion also with Him. What do we know of this? Because without true desire, all our seeking is going to be like a morning cloud. There's much of that in the world. There is much of that in the church. It is just a morning cloud. And then it can look sometimes so promising, just like that seed is coming up on that stony ground, and it grows so very quickly, and it is expressing itself, and oh, you say, what is going to become of it? And then soon, oh, a little trial, a little sun, a little heat, and then it is gone. Then it is all withering away. Thou hast dove's eyes, and they are eyes, we read here, and they are eyes of a dove that do mourn as the mourning dove. That is so beautiful unto the Lord Jesus Christ. When he may see eyes that are weeping. Do you have dove's eyes? Do you have eyes that weep? Why do you weep? Why, young people, children? Sometimes tears. You ever say to yourself, why? Why am I crying? Why am I sad? So I have pain and I cry. Oh, my brother or sister, they took this away from me. And then I cry. Or I want this, and mother will not give it to me. And then I cry. And then I want to go here or there, and so on. Oh, all the consequences of sin, sickness, pain, the world is full of crying. What does it say here? What is he commending here? Says they are dove's eyes. All that mourning that is based in love, because all the guilt in the world cannot make us weep one true tear. Guilt is not, felt guilt is not a distinction between God's people and the world. Felt guilt is something that the entire world experiences. But they do not weep with the eyes of a dove. It is the goodness of the Lord, Paul says, that leads a man to weeping, that makes him begin to mourn, even as a dove is mourning. Do you have dove's eyes, congregation? Does the Lord know of that? This is not God's people saying, I have dove's eyes. No, this is the Lord. It is the Lord himself that looks upon his bride and says that this is what I see is so beautiful, so fair in my people. Oh, do you have dove's love? Does the Lord hear sometimes when you are in your inner chamber the mourning of a dove because you have sinned against him? and because you miss him. But there is more. Because this bridegroom is here speaking. And who is he speaking to? Well, he is speaking to the bride. Thus, these are especially the words of Christ himself unto his church. Thus, the love that Solomon is speaking about here is the love of the church for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not God in general, there is that too, of course, because Christ is the way to the Father. And that first missing is not a missing of Christ, no, it is a missing of the Father. But here it is speaking specifically about Christ himself. Thus, there has to come a time in our life that our affections, that the affections of the church are set upon the mediator. The mediator. Do we know of such a time? We need to know such a time. We need to know such a time in order to be able to partake of that supper in a profitable way. You read, John says it was the 10th hour when John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, then they saw him, and they knew when they saw him. And so that must become with each and every one of us. When Christ says, "Thou hast dove's eyes," then he speaks about an affection that is yearning after him. After him himself. Eyes that have been opened to his own beauty. Then they are not eyes anymore that are looking half to themselves and half unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That they are not looking unto him that he may be their helper. No, these are the eyes of a dove. And the eyes of a dove are singular. She has always one mate for her life. What does that mean? That means my own righteousness that has to come to an end, to an end. That righteousness has to be cut off completely from a man in order that that love of that mediator to an ungodly man, woman, boy or girl may be made suitable. And to such a one as I am, oh, then when he is revealed, then we receive the eyes of a dove. Oh, then we see in that moment that he is the one. Oh, then we are in our heart at least, in our desire at least. Oh, then they say, he is the only one that I need. There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby that I must be saved and none other. O congregation, do we have, were we ever given by the Lord the eyes of a dove? Let us sing 22, 1 and 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me, while darkness hides thy face? And what follows in 1 and 3 of Psalter 22. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. What are they? They are the locks of hair that do partially cover the face. Paul says, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Thus it has something to do with humility, that has something to do with the blessed place that the Lord has given unto a woman. And now this dove, with these dove's eyes within the locks, they are pointing to that understanding. It is the affectionate dove's eyes, that affectionate understanding that is kept within its proper bounds, its proper limits. They are eyes that are within the locks. Thus, her eyes cannot see everything, because sometimes those locks, they are hanging down in front of her eyes. And so that bride, she cannot see everything always of that bridegroom. But now that bride keeps all of this within her proper bounds. Thus, she accepts the limitations that the Lord does give unto her understanding, that affectionate understanding that would like to see everything but is not able to see everything. Oh, then she says unto the daughters of Jerusalem, she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Till he please. Oh, what he is pleased to show to me, when he is pleased to come to me, when he is pleased to reveal himself to me, that is all kept by her within those bounds. And when he reveals himself indeed, then she also keeps this within its proper bounds. Then she does not make a great show of these things in order to lift herself up in this world. No. No, that is such an intimate relation that she has with him. And on the other hand, then there are times, oh, times that she feels that she is not just casting her pearls before the swine. Times that there is quietness, and times that then she may sometimes open her mouth when it is very appropriate in that time to speak unto others and to say to them what the Lord has done unto her soul. And all this, Christ says, that is now pleasing unto me, because she treats that relationship with him with such a great and a due respect. Out of pure love, she understands what is appropriate and she understands what is not appropriate. That has dove's eyes within their, within thy locks. Thus a very intimate and a personal relationship that she is very wise-hearted and tender in dealing with. But in our second place, we say he commends the pleasantness of her deportment. What do we read? Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now the hair on our head is not a necessary part of our body. There are many people that do not have any hair on their head. That is not essential, children, like we need to have a heart and we need to have lungs. Otherwise we cannot live, but we do not need to have hair on our head. Thus, what is that hair? That hair is an ornament, and then especially for women, and so it was also in that time in the days of Solomon. And now we read about this. We read about this in our form for self-examination concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord. We read about this ornament that is not first. It is not in the first place. No. In the first place, we read about the mourning of that dove. We read about a mourning for sin. We read about that mourning for, the desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are things that are coming in the first place. But now, when you read it again this week, you will look also at the last part. And the last part is about our desires and about what our intentions are about our walk in the midst of this life. And then God's people are always so they marvel at how our fathers have written that form. And it does not say, if your life is so and so, no. Or if the desire, if the intention, because that people, they say it is all wrong. And but that desire to do it, the intention to do it with all the shortcomings. And now that is an ornament. And so we read here also that Solomon is speaking about the ornament of the hair, and then he speaks about the deportment of that church. Then he speaks about the walk of that church, the appearance of the church before God and also before the world. No, that is not a necessary part, just like the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the merits of Christ, just like they are a necessary part. No, the merit of man and the walk of man, that it does not merit for them. It is not necessary in such a way. And yet it is necessary. And why is it necessary? Why is it made a mark that our fathers write of in our form? Well, because it is a necessary fruit. It is a fruit. If it does not show itself, then it is showing that that matter is wrong. Thus, it is revealing what is on the inside of the heart of the people that is so often hid. They often cannot express it. They don't have words to express it. They don't know how to say, and yet, oh, watch the life of that people. Oh, then it is that they are made known by that meek and quiet walk and by that upright conversation. And Christ says that is pleasing unto me. The Apostle Paul writes about that also. He speaks about the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Do we have such an ornament? A meek and a quiet, he says that that is in the sight of God of great price. And now Solomon says, thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now a goat, he walks with a beautiful and a stately gait. Solomon says the he-goat is comely in going. Is beautiful. It is stately in going when you see him walking. So much more when there is here, we read about a flock of goats and then that they appear from Mount Gilead, and Mount Gilead was a very fruitful place. So goats, a flock of goats that are appearing, that are coming from, as it were, this Mount Gilead, are then very likely a very healthy appearing, a beautifully appearing flock of goats. Very pleasant in the eyes of everyone to see this flock of goats. Now the Lord Jesus, he says that that walk of the church, when it is right, that is now in the midst of this world as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. What kind of church is that? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, if they have persecuted me, they shall persecute you. He says, you must, through much tribulation, enter into that kingdom of God. That is the way they have to go through this world. And now when Christ sees their walk, as they go in such a way through this world, then he sees that stately gate, and he says it is a beautiful walk. Think about David, and how that David was persecuted. And then he said to Saul, thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge, and the Lord avenge me of thee. But my hand shall not be upon thee. Is that our deportment? Oh, that was David's deportment. It was an ornament, a beautiful ornament that was displaying what lived in his heart. The tender fear of the Lord that lived in that heart of David. The Lord forbid it me that I should touch the Lord's anointed. No, he could not do that. Then his actions did shine like that beautiful hair upon the head. Just as that state was as stately in going, even as that flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Commanded great respect. Everyone around him, they may learn from David, and then they may do as David, and then they may be drawn to that tender fear of the name of the Lord. And then think about Joseph, young people. Does not have to start when we are older. Oh, that starts when the tender fear of the Lord begins in our heart. Also when we are young. Oh, think about what has come against Joseph from his own brothers. Think about what came against him in that house of Potiphar. Think of Daniel. Think of his three friends. Think of Job and how Satan did pursue Job. Oh, then you say their hair, that ornament, what may be seen, that was like a flock of goats. That does appear from Mount Gilead. Does that mean they were without sin? No. No, it does not mean that at all. But Christ beholds the beauty of his own work. That is his own spirit that is in the heart of the people. And instructing them how that they are to walk in the midst of this life. Through all the tribulations. Through all the persecutions. And Christ recognizes it. He says, that is my own. That is what is taught to them by my own spirit. And he loves them. Daniel was literally thrown into that lion's den. His three friends, they were literally thrown into that burning fiery furnace. But that is now the way. The church is not a stranger of those ways. Christ says, I see it. Christ says, I know it, and I see your deportment under it. Being reviled, they revile not again. Oh, then he says, there is nothing unknown to me. No, not the smallest suffering. And then they have to learn that actually they have no might against that great company of evil that comes against them. No might. They have to say that to the Lord. Finally, they have to leave that all with him. Oh, he alone can take care of them. And you know what that is to him? Oh, that is so pleasant. It is so pleasant because he is their Savior. He is there to deliver them when they cannot deliver themselves. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Congregation, it is such a wonder for that church that the Lord Jesus speaks so of that church. Is that also a wonder unto us? Does that matter to us? Does that matter to us what he thinks of us? What he sees in us, how we are viewed, and how that we are spoken of by him. Because we can make a confession of him, but we can be mistaken. But if he makes a confession of us, that is what matters. And he is never mistaken. What does that mean? It means that we must find ourselves. We must find ourselves in that description that Christ is giving of his own church in that way of self-examination. May the Lord help us. May the Lord remember his own that have dove's eyes within their locks. May he encourage them in the darkness when they often cannot see him and when he is not yet revealing himself, to give them a little word, to give them a little token, as he did here unto his own bride, because that is the reason that he now gives to his church his holy supper. Thus the Lord make us honest before him. And may the Lord feed and visit his own. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest thy own, but they desire to know it too. Wilt thou speak unto them? And wilt thou show thyself to them? And wilt thou make it clear to them? When in this week they are to look within, not for help within, but to see thy work within, O Lord, that they may see indeed thy work, and that thou may come again to renew it, for the power that is soon gone out of it. O Lord, remember us then in the week to come. Do give us each and every one a little separation from all the things of this time, that we may find a place in our inner chamber, because we also one day must die. And that same thing is necessary in order that we may go out of this life in peace and meet thee. O Lord, remember us then in mercy, forgiving all of our iniquity. Bring us safely to our places. Give us thoughts and meditations of thee, and we may acknowledge thee for all thy help. And wilt thou bless thy holy word. For Jesus' sake, amen. 236, all the stanzas. By all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. Matchless thy works abide, for thou art God. 1 through 4 of 236. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.